Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Very good morning to everyone. Duncan, the official coffee, the fan morning show. It is 8 o'clock on a dot. Hello. Good time to review your auto and home insurance with the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia. Welcome in at this time from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Covers Pitt basketball, Pitt athletics in totality, really. It is Noah Hiles. Noah, good morning to you. How's everything?
Morning, fellas. Always glad to be on. It's a great day here in Greensboro, but I'm excited to get back home soon.
Yeah, and great coverage. We appreciate it. We followed it from front to back this whole season. All right, we started the show off this morning with this and like to rehash it just a little bit. You tell me one of these two things. Was this a one-off for Pitt basketball, or was this the springboard into something bigger or at least stabilizing this program? Because I think that is a gigantic question right now.
Yeah, and I think that was the main topic of conversation in the post-game press conference call, and I actually wrote a story on it that ran this morning online at the Post-Gazette site where you can read it. But a lot of the seniors talked about how they wanted to make this program and come in and make it better than what it was before they left, you know, leave it better than they found it. And I think that's the case. I don't know if this is going to end up being a regular tournament appearance team. It's hard to predict for anyone to do that in this era of college basketball while everyone's still kind of learning how to use the transfer portal. But what I can say on that note is Pitt's proved that it knows how to use the transfer portal pretty well, I think. I mean, even before this year, you look at the guys they brought in prior to the Cummings, Blake Hinson, Fetty, Greg Elliott class. It was, you know, Jamarius Burton came in through the transfer portal. So did Nike Sabande. And while it took a while for those guys to be surrounded with talent, Jeff Capel found the right pieces. And I think that there's less work to do moving forward. I think that this team is going to have plenty of talent next year. If you look at what's coming back, I find it hard to be discouraged with the development of the Diaz-Graham twins and what they displayed. And while, yes, there are clear flaws to their game right now, but there is tremendous upside for both of them as college basketball players, as is there for Fetty Federico down low, who made huge strides in his development throughout the entire season. Pitt returns his top leading scorer this year with Blake Hinson coming back. So you have those four guys to build off of. You more than likely, from what I'm hearing, you'll have Dior Johnson coming back, which he might have been the most talented guard on this roster, even though he didn't play a game this year. So with those five, and then you bring in 2 4-star recruits, another promising talent out of Brush High School and Marlon Barnes, who's a 3-star forward. And then you make a couple additions from the transfer portal. I think that there's tremendous potential for this to be a lot bigger than just a one-time thing, that Pitt is in a great spot to build and make, you know, itself a solid basketball program once again.
Now, we all know that college basketball coaches have systems and the way that they want to run things on the court. We just talked about the talent that's going to possibly be there next year, the talent that's coming back next year. But did we find out what type of system that Jeff Capel wants to run and will run in the future? Could you see that throughout the season and obviously in the last couple games of the tournament, an actual system that he wants to run and that he's going to hang his hat on?
I think so, and I think you see it more anywhere else than the front court, where I think if he didn't have a strict system laid out, John Hughley might be back. But I think that based upon what he has coming back down low, is pretty clear with what kind of basketball the team's going to play. He wants these athletic, tall, lanky, long forwards who can run the floor, who have a little bit of an outside game, who have a lot of, you know, talent to play with pace. And that's, I think, what we're going to see Pitt be moving forward here. It's going to be a very guard-focused, pace-heavy type offense with outside shooting, with transition opportunities. And he doesn't want to have, you know, a center who you can just dump the ball into down low and play slow possessions and have his back to the basket. He wants athletes out there and you know, more of a modern game feel, which is something that, you know, Pitt basketball has never really had. It's always when it was playing well with defense and offensive rebounding and grit and determination. While I do think the players that he's recruited show that type of toughness and grind ability, I think that it's got a more modern flair with this group. And I think that that's kind of going to be what Jeff Capel's system looks like moving forward is a lot like this team, where it's pace, it's outside shooting, and it's athleticism all over the floor rather than your traditional, you know, two guards, one wing, two forwards type thing, which we saw for, you know, almost 20 years for Pitt basketball.
Noah, in replacing Burton, Cummings, Elliott, do you think Jeff Capel goes back to the grad transfer well? Does he look for maybe some younger guys with several years of eligibility left? How does he fill out those very important spots on the roster?
It'll be interesting, Chris. I mean, if you look, I mean, like I said, they have three really young, talented guards coming in next year, with two of them coming from high school and Dior Johnson. If he returns, I mean, those are three four-star guards right there, but none of them have played a game of college basketball. So, you know, what do you do with that? Do you trust that those three will be enough? And I would have to assume he goes and gets at least one veteran guard. I think he probably tries to find someone like a Greg Elliott again, just someone who can play the two, be a three guy, you know, a sharpshooter from the outside. And I think another addition might be, rather than going and getting like a true center, trying to find another Blake Hinson type, someone who can play a little bit better on the outside as well and shoot threes, but help with the rebounding if your front court doesn't develop the way you would like it to this offseason. I don't think that they're going to go out and find like a Nelly Cummings, another seasoned point guard, but I do think it's safe to assume they're going to want to find some age here, because this was a very old team this year. It's going to be a very young team next year, with especially at the backcourt, which we saw how important it is in March to have that experience running the offense late in those games. I think, yeah, you go out and you get at least one veteran guy, but I wouldn't be shocked for him to also look for young guards who might be able to do different things, maybe a guard with some size. There could be, you know, a lot of, with the transfer portal, there could be anything out there. And he said in his post-game presser yesterday, just 30 minutes after they lost, that as soon as they went back to the hotel, they're going to start that process of looking to fill their open roster spot.
Fan Morning Show presented by Matt Mertz Plumbing, now part of the Armstrong Comfort Solutions family. Noah Hiles joining from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. You take, pardon me, the Twins, and you take Federico. Those are three international players, right? And they're here at the University of Pittsburgh. Now, let's take the Jordan Addison situation. What safeguards are in place by the Pitt basketball program, or maybe the athletic department, that those guys won't be poached by somewhere else? You know, sure. I don't want that to happen, but what if it's June and UCLA says, we got all kinds of money, NIL deal, or Texas says, we have an NIL deal, and then all of a sudden you're hearing their name going somewhere else? Could that happen?
I don't believe it could happen with those players, because I don't think international players can receive NIL opportunities, to my understanding. And maybe that's just a Pennsylvania state law, but that's how it was explained to me. So with those three, I don't think that's a possibility.
Could Pitt be set up, though? How do they protect their own players, I guess, is a question, too.
I mean, that's a question that, yeah, I'm sure the entire Pitt athletic office is thinking about right now, because, you know, when you were bringing in guys last year through the portal, you were selling them on an opportunity to get to the big stage. Well, now that this program's at the big stage, you're right, Colin. I mean, Pitt is a destination, of course, but it's also a breeding ground for the bigger programs. And if you have, I don't think there are any guys on this roster who would consider leaving right now, or would be, you know, maybe Blake Hinson would be someone another Power 5 program would want to come and try to sweep up. But I think in the future, yeah, that's something that Pitt needs to do to find a way to make sure that these guys feel comfortable here and have opportunities here that other places can offer them. I don't know how they go about doing that. I think that, you know, from what I've the conversations that I've had, obviously they're working toward getting there, but I think Pitt even acknowledges it's a little bit behind when it comes to NIL right now, but it's doing everything it can to get caught up. But how that happens, I don't know. I think winning certainly helps when you're competitive again and you're filling that building. I think more alumni start showing up and maybe those wallets start to open a little bit more. And I think that's the first step, but it'll be really interesting to see how Pitt Athletics uses its success, not only in basketball. Football had a good season. Volleyball had a good season. Soccer, both men's and women's, had a good season. They just had a national champion in wrestling. Pitt Athletics has had one of its best years ever. And how does it use this success to make sure that they can keep these good athletes coming in and keep the good athletes here on campus? I don't have an answer for that, but that's definitely going to be the challenge as it can, you know, continues to move forward.
It's also about keeping the coaches too, right? I mean, so does Jeff Capel deserve, or should he have an opportunity to have a discussion of an extension?
I mean, he's still locked up for a pretty long deal, Doran, I think. He signed until 27. So I think that, yeah, he probably deserves an extension. I think that may come. I haven't heard any rumblings of it, but this was one great year that he had. I would probably wait to see what happens next year. And while I do think that the program is in a great spot and other programs are probably interested in seeing what Jeff Capel could do for them, I think right now you wait and see what happens next year because he has so much time still left on this current deal. He's paid pretty well to begin with. And you see what happens next year. And if he replicates what happened this year or if they build upon it, then absolutely, I think you need to make a big move to make sure this guy isn't going anywhere. I look at the openings right now, and while there are some big program names, I'm not sure if, you know, Jeff wants to leave what he has right here because he worked so hard to build it. I mean, it's like putting all this work into a house and it's finally, you know, you're able to live in it and have a nice life in it. And do you really want to start building somewhere else and start a new project? I don't think he's there yet. So I don't know if there's a big worry for an extension on either side right now, but I think if this success continues, it's absolutely something both parties really need to address quickly.
Who's the best team you saw in Greensboro, Noah?
Oh man, I would have to say Xavier. I mean, Kentucky's fun to watch as far as, you know, the spectacle of what that program is and the traveling circus that is Kentucky media and everything. And Kansas State showed a lot of, you know, flash and excitement, but Xavier's the best team I've seen play in person this year, as far as, you know, Pitt opponents and just sitting there and watching other teams play in the ACC tournament and other venues and everything. Xavier's talented. They are deep, and it's pretty impressive to consider that this team is without one of its best players who broke his foot in late January too. They're well coached. They're deep. They have everything you need, I think, to make a deep run in March, aside from, you know, defense, but they move the ball well. They don't make a lot of mistakes. They're very efficient. They don't miss from the outside. And I really like, you know, they're well coached as well. I think that that's a team that I wouldn't be shocked to see them in Houston.
Noah Hiles. Noah, we thank you so very much. We thank you for your coverage all year. We thank you for coming on with us, and we'll catch back up again soon. Thank you much.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me on during this run.
Absolutely. Great stuff from Noah. Fan Hotline he was on. Presented by Nemecolon. Around every corner, Nemecolon creates real-life magic for guests. A question, Crowley, for you, actually, because you'd probably be in tune to watching this thing, or at least maybe your wife is. Did he just totally describe love it or list it? He said, you know, you don't want to do all this stuff to this house, and then finally when you do all this stuff to this house, then you move out and sell it to someone else.
Sometimes you do list it, though.
Isn't that exactly what that show is?
You got to be careful, though. Grass is always greener.
Yep. Depends on how much you're getting for the house.
Yep.
I don't think he's going anywhere.
No.
I mean, except for one
job.
This
isn't an investment property. He's sticking around. He's living in it.
I do think that there is a – man, no one's – I don't want this to happen, but I think that it – you always – this is why being a college coach now sucks. Because you never saw Jordan Addison coming. You never saw that like, he was in your plans. He was next year. He was the reigning Biletnikoff winner. Everything that you saw written, that you saw planned, that you thought was going on, your plans were to take the next season onto that football field with that guy. And then all of a sudden,
seemingly in 48 hours, he was gone.
Mm-hmm.
The nervousness and the kind of the fence you have to build around your own guys so that other people don't come in and poach them is absurd.
Crazy.
In this climate of college basketball.
You got to constantly be on the defensive about your roster while also being as aggressive as possible about everyone else's roster.
You don't then feel bad about going. There are guys that are not in the transfer portal that I'm sure are like, you know what? I'd listen, though, if something came up.
For sure.
And then they have, you know, handlers.
And then that creates leverage.
Mm-hmm. They wanted to skew and flip all the power that coaches have, and now it's almost flipped too far to where the power that the athlete has. I don't begrudge the power that the athlete has. They should have had more all along, but now it's they're kind of steering the ship a little bit.
Yeah, just taking control.
Yes. All right, so much more to get into. Doran, I can't wait for your take on this. Is one coach trying to play the hard guy just a bit too much? Wait to hear this coming up next. Twitter brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Peters Township. Visit them online, southhillsjeep.com. And go back and check out our Twitter poll. That's brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. Looking for a great job? I got the place for you. Armstrong Comfort Solutions and Matt Mertz Plumbing are looking for wonderful people. Three great Western Pennsylvania locations to choose from. Armstrong Comfort Solutions invests in the latest and greatest vehicles, tools, equipment to deliver state-of-the-art solutions of any size. They need great service plumbers and HVAC service technicians right now. Growing industry, and they're in demand. Give them a call today, 1-833-789-9100, or apply online, armstrongcomfort.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Text us, Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. That's just going to end so horribly, the Highland Park Bridge construction stuff. It's already backed up. How long is that happening again? They're shutting down a ramp? That is just... I wonder if they should just get rid of that bridge and the 62nd Street Bridge and just say, let's start all over.
We tried.
Yeah, right?
A new one.
I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. But shutting down that ramp and detouring everybody through Sharpsburg is just not happening today.
That's got to be a disaster.
It's a total disaster. It would be like standing in the middle of Costco and saying, hey, everybody here, everybody, we're going to be down to one lane when you check out. How's that feel? Honestly, that's what they got happening on an already really crowded place. Good luck. All right, how about Coach Prime? Coach Prime is not having it for individuality. Coach Prime is not having it for you thinking you're bigger than the program. Coach Prime is not having it in Boulder, Colorado for you wanting, are you ready for this? Your own number in spring ball. You're getting a blank jersey that says Colorado on the front. White for offense, green for defense. That's how we roll at Colorado under Coach Prime. Listen to some of him. He's explaining a bit of it here. He's at a big team meeting.
And a lot of you guys was desiring numbers that ain't you. What I mean by that, a lineman is not wearing a single digit. That's not going to happen up under me. That's not going to happen. And if you ain't that guy, you're not wearing a single digit. Back in the day, when we came up, single digits was that guy, right? It was him. It was who he was.
Okay. He then went on to say, if you ain't him, don't even think about it. And also, most of you ain't him, so it's not even happening. But for right now, he made a kid stand up. He said, what number would you like? And he said, 17. And he said, anybody else in this room want 17? Thinking everybody, a couple, not one person raised their hand. He goes, and then he was stuck. Mm-hmm. He said, okay, you probably end up going to get it, but you need to work for it because you don't have it now, which gets into his second level of I'm in charge. There's no numbers on their practice uniforms at spring ball. They're just blank because they got to earn their own number, even if they were the number last year. What would you say to this, Doran?
Oh, I would be like, could you imagine yourself walking in? It's your second year at Florida State, and Bobby Bowden saying that nobody had numbers on their uniforms. What would you say, Prime? You're going against everything that you were as a player. Like, but me. Listen,
didn't he wear number two at Florida State?
He wore number two, like, because
right? He was him.
Because he was him. Yeah, capital H.
I get that. What he doesn't understand, which is funny to me about this situation, Crowley, is that it's only gonna not benefit him. How is he going to know who is who whenever he's coaching? Like, he's going to go, hey, wait, who was that? Who was that receiver? That's a five-star guy right there. That's Ben Johnson over there.
From 60 yards away, you could see that piece of tape with the last name on your helmet.
It's just going to fault him.
Good luck in the film room.
Yeah. In the film room, too. Like, I mean, come on.
No, Coach, that was me. I caught that touchdown.
Yeah. This is getting out of control.
I would never go there. Back in – you would never go there?
No. Not in a 1,000-time chance. No.
I keep going back and forth so much on this. I really do. Part of me thinks he's bound to have success because he's Coach Prime and he's going to get players. The other part says this thing about making his whole life an Instagram story, more so than concentrating on actually making the program better, it's just not going to work with a program that big. And I go back and forth and back and forth.
This is the first time I've looked at it and gone, oh, man, this thing's going to backfire horribly, isn't it? Like, there have been moments where I've been like, is this – okay, it worked at Jackson State. Maybe he's trying to translate something to Colorado. This is the first time where I've gone, no, this could end really poorly.
You're going to give me a spring, and they're in spring ball right now. And probably at the end of spring ball, I'm going to hit the portal probably. I'm anxious to see how many guys from Colorado are in the portal after spring ball. I'm willing to say a decent amount because nobody wants to put up with that.
I think that might be his plan in the early going. Weed them out.
Yeah.
And then what? You're with nothing.
That's the hope. The hope is it won't be nothing. The hope is you'll go hit the portal and guys will want to come play for Coach Prime. I don't know how it's going to work, but I bet you he is trying to, okay, you don't want to be here? Get out of here and I'll bring my guys in.
Now,
we'll see.
I'm anxious to see that first game or first couple weeks they play Nebraska. Matt Rhule, I don't know if he'll have players, but he will coach him off the field. I mean, there's no question there. And I'm anxious to see what happens when they lose bad early, if they do lose bad early. And again, I don't know if Nebraska has the horses, but they got the coaches that's better than that staff.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, this whole – in the crazy part, you look around the room when he's talking, these kids are eating it up. Like – it must have been terrible there in the past. And also, he brought in other kids that, you know, are his kids, kind of his recruits. But they eat it up like it's Jesus talking.
What else are you supposed to? I mean,
right.
What are you going to do? I mean, it's like, hey, this is where I'm at. This is, you know, where I'm going to play football.
You see the video? He kicked some kid out of the weight room last week because he had the wrong shoes on, because he didn't have the right brand shoes on.
It's going to go one way or the other.
Yeah.
Like, it really is.
I'm coming back down on the side where this is going to fail miserably.
Yep.
At first, he started to get the recruits. Dennis, did you see the video of his son 2 weeks ago where it snowed and he had from his NIL deal or whatever, he had like a Maserati and he's trying to drive it through Colorado and Boulder and he's going up the hill and then he shows the first part of his Instagram story and he's like, yeah, I'd never seen anything like this. And then the second part of the Instagram story, it's in the shop with the fender all bent in. He's like, this ain't like Florida.
No, it's not.
So, who knows? What a world. We do talk some Steelers coming up. And also, should Pony just stop trying to make predictions. And don't forget Nino Bonacorsi, your national champion at 197 pounds. University of Pittsburgh wrestler. He joins at 9:30 here, Fan Morning Show.
Trust is a key component in my life, and let me tell you about somebody that I absolutely trust to sell my home, and that's Gina Giampietro. You'll have a five-star experience when you sell your home with Gina. Here's a story from Betty, who had a property in Castle Shannon. She had been trying to sell the property for 2.5 years with two different agents. Nothing was accomplished. The home was sitting vacant, and having two mortgages was starting to take a serious financial toll on Betty. She finally reached out to Gina, and it was a completely different story. With Gina's aggressive marketing in play, the home was sold for $375,000 in just 2 days after listing. Betty said, "I would recommend Gina to anyone who wants to buy or sell a house. She and her team are the absolute best, and I can attest to that. Gina will sit down with you. You grant a price and a deadline. If the deadline passes and the home isn't sold, she'll have it bought and turned into a rental. She also offers a no-obligation guarantee. If she doesn't do her job at any point, you're free to get out of the contract. Pull out your phone, give her a call, 724-602-9752, or Google Gina Giampietro of RE/MAX Select Realty and look up GinaWillSellYourHome.com. That's GinaWillSellYourHome.com.
The direction the Steelers are taking at 9 o'clock, we get into that. Nino Bonacorsi at 9:30, Pitt wrestler, won a national championship over the weekend. It was electric, and we talked to him. One man in about 12 minutes or so, is breaking down right before our eyes, I think, and we'll play that audio from a video that he put online. He's in a bad place, I think, and you can hear him today at 2 o'clock here on The Fan. You know, I want to get back into this for a moment, Adam, because I've had time to digest this a little bit about your claim that the NCAA tournament doesn't yield the best team. How long have you felt this way?
Long time.
Because the Ken Palm teams are out now. They adjust the Ken Palm rankings, right? The top seven Ken Palm, and this would align with you, like Ken Palm, who he thinks is the best teams, right? Is that more in line with you than a tournament bracket? The seven Ken Palm teams, the top seven are in the Sweet 16. 8 is Purdue, 9 is Kansas, 10 is Arizona, 11 is Marquette. Does that mean anything to you?
Well, it just means I think Ken Palm is mostly a predictive metric, but it's based up over the body of work that you have during a long regular season filled with whole bunch of sample size. I mean, so you're going to find that good teams will be there at the end, but there's going to be a lot of good teams that aren't there at the end because there's a lot of luck involved in college basketball. There's a lot of luck involved in basketball. I mean, you're going to shoot 100 threes. If you're a 40% shooter, you're going to make 40 of them, right? But if you're playing in the NCAA tournament, you could do everything right. Perfect form, same kind of crap. You shoot 8 threes, maybe you make one of them.
I'm intrigued by your claim that this doesn't yield the best team, but then you don't want it to be changed, I guess.
Well, I don't think, like, just to bring it, like, baseball, the wild card game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's the best thing for, wow, this team played a full season, now it comes down to one game. But I do think it's the most entertaining thing. You give me a game 7 right off the bat, this is without question the most entertaining tournament in sports. It's why I would never change it. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying I don't think it's the best way to determine a champion. That's all.
I don't really get it. I mean, if you roll the ball out there and you're 5 against my 5, I don't care what night it is. If you're that good, you should win.
And that's not the way sports works, though.
Why isn't it? We just saw it.
We saw it for the construct that we currently have.
That's how sports work then.
Because if you don't want to think outside the box, do I have to look at this and go, oh, this is the best way to determine a champion because a bunch of people got in a room and said this is the best way to determine a champion? Why do I have to look at it that way? I'm not saying that they should change it. It's a wonderful thing, and it gives the underdog the chance. The underdog, do we agree, would the underdog have a chance if you went to 5 and 7
no.
game series?
No, they wouldn't.
Well, then,
you're not advocating, you're just pointing out, and I can differentiate and understand that. And by you pointing this out, you're pretty much against just about any playoff system. You would be in a lot of sports then, because a one-shot deal, like the NFL playoffs, you're not for them either. You would just then play out whatever sample size you saw as wide enough
17 games, in this case, you know, 30-some games in college basketball, and then just end it. Ivy League regular season, there's your champion, be done. That's you essentially take out all playoffs in all one games, erasing a body of work.
Right, and that's why it's no, I mean, it's no fun that way.
No, that's why it's dumb.
Yeah, it's no fun at all. That's why they should keep it exactly the way that it is. But if you want, you tell me who won the most games in baseball out of 162, that's the best team for me.
I think there's been a shift in our, in maybe, you might have a point in 1908, but I think that there's been a shift in our culture and there's been a shift in our thinking that the regular season, take hockey for example, and especially in college basketball too, the regular season is a vehicle to get you ready and get you in position to best succeed in the playoff structure.
Yeah, but I think like people are more comfortable now than ever, I think, in, hey, the quote-unquote best team in a given sport may not end up winning the championship, right? Like we talked about the sixth-seeded Steelers going on the road and beating the Colts and the Broncos and all that. But the NCAA tournament, I think, does one of the best jobs of eliminating that hot team gets hot and rides it up. You've got to win six games over the course of a little more than 3 weeks, and more often than not, you go back and look at the list of NCAA champions over the last 35 years and find me a team that had double-digit losses. More often than not, you had one of the better teams in college basketball winning it all in the end. And so, are you going to see upsets along the way? Absolutely.
Yeah, which team won that wasn't good? Like, which team can you point to that was the worst champion, I guess?
You got to go back to the mid-80s to, like, a Kansas team under Larry Brown.
Butler, right?
Or Villanova in 85. I mean, every other team you look at, single-digit losses.
But your point more is, it's not the team that won, it's the team that got knocked out that could have won.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to win it, you got to be a good team. There's no doubt. But, like, if I just look at North Carolina last year, North Carolina last year was an average basketball team. They got hot. They brought back everybody this year, and they don't even make the tournament.
And they didn't win. Kansas won last year.
Okay, they got there. Kansas was great. Kansas has been a great team for decades, and they don't always win it. And, again, I just think you're going to find better teams there at the end. There's no doubt about it. But if you guys already conceded.
You know the last team that lost, that won a national championship with double-digit losses? Kansas in 1988.
Yeah.
But you guys have already conceded that the little guy wouldn't have a chance if you played more games.
You're right about that. Like in a series,
okay. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Fairleigh Dickinson may play Purdue 100 times and win 2.
And right. I guess my question is, how are we arriving at a different outcome in that scenario than we end up with already?
Well, I think Purdue's still playing today, which would muddy everything. Arizona would still be playing today, which would muddy everything.
And I'm introducing this. Anytime that a playoff is introduced, the best team doesn't always win.
Right.
Correct. And that's my whole point.
But then they're not the best team. Like in my like then you're not the best team if you're not winning. Like if you're the best team, then you should win.
We can keep going around in circles on this, but I think when you acknowledge that if you play more games, the better team is going to win, then that's all I'm saying. That would be the better way to determine the better team.
Well, maybe. And last thing on this though, if let's say a team got upset in the finals of whatever you charted out, then it would never be good enough. One person would say, you know, if you play the best of 9, we'd have to play the best of 11 because we were actually better than them. We had more regular season wins, and we lost to them. Well, when does it end when you start down that road?
It doesn't end ever because I like it the way it is.
Should one guy stop doing something? We get into that. Top of the hour, Steelers free agency talk. There is so much to talk about. And don't forget Nino Bonaccorsi, your champion, your NCAA wrestling champion from the University of Pittsburgh. He joins 9:30. Good morning. All right, Andrew, who you can hear at 2 o'clock with Chris Mahler, PM team, Andrew Filippone, Chris Mahler. It's a wonderful thing. He's gotten into the business of getting some picks wrong here and there. And not just wrong, very publicly wrong. And I love it. I consume it. I'll go to social media. And, like, just before tip-off, he'll say, man, Team A is my side. I got them today. And he'll use definitives, too. There's no way Team B can beat Team A today. Put all your money on Team A. And then the game starts, and it's not even, like, up for debate. Team B will come out to a 15-1 lead.
in a basketball game. So people have started to think, and they've thought this for a while, but this especially happened with the Pitt game the other day where he said this is Pitt's day against Xavier just before tip-off, and then, well, it wasn't Pitt's day. Then the Pitt faithful came down on Pony and said he's a jinx. Is this funny? Is this sad? Is this a bit of both? Listen, Pony, social media.
I need to address the elephant in the room. Everybody's talking about it. It's not my fault. I don't play for Pitt. I didn't miss any shots. I don't play for Xavier. I didn't miss any threes. There's no such thing as a jinx. What someone says on Twitter or the radio or in the newspaper doesn't matter. So stop blaming me. I had absolutely nothing to do with the outcome or result of Pitt Xavier. So get off my back. Save that energy for someone who missed a shot, who got in foul trouble, who didn't get back on defense. It has absolutely nothing to do with me.
Man, he seems – I've never heard him like that. That didn't seem – I think he cracked. It didn't seem like shtick. It seemed real.
Crowley said this earlier. That's the first time he's ever, like, responded to something of that nature. You know, that's the first time he's ever, like, put out a video or even tweeted back at somebody. I've never seen him tweet back of anything that he tweets and somebody has a comment to. He's feeling the heat, and I think people are catching on to what he has been trying to do, and people don't like it. People don't want him involved.
He's shook. No, I will grant him this. I will agree with Pony in one regard. I don't believe in jinxes either.
See, I do.
You don't? No.
Kyle, you do.
Pony had nothing to do with Pitt losing yesterday.
No, I don't believe that, but I believe in, like, jinxes, though.
Yeah, superstitions, too. I buy into all that stuff. You know, I know in my heart of hearts it doesn't mean jack, but I absolutely, like, if I were a Pitt fan, I went to Archie's on Saturday when they beat Iowa State, I would have been back there on Sunday. I would have been back there in a second because I'm watching it. I'll wear the same stuff, hang out with the same people, do exactly the same crap leading up to the game just to help the cosmic basketball gods get Pitt to the Sweet 16.
Man, because, you know, you bring up a good point, Dorn. His mentions are probably, and I've not looked at them, but they're probably not nice all the time. And the fact that he's able to block that out and just say, yell down the elevator shaft. Go ahead, everybody. That's fine. Why this time? What made him crack this time? You know, of all the other times, there's been a lot of times. I mean, Pony is a guy people fire on, I'm sure. You know, just thinking. You see what everybody gets. But the fact that he fought back this time is interesting.
I think he was using a stick before because he said the opposite. He said that Pitt was going to lose against Iowa State, and then they won, right? And then I think, like, now that he said Xavier was going to win and they actually did win, he's like, oh, wait, hold up. Like, I was just making a bet. The first time was I'm going to play shtick and be like, you bet opposite because if I do this, Pitt is going to win. But now that they actually did lose whenever he was betting somebody that was going to win, I think he's like, oh, wait, hold on. I'm just actually
He should be in the business of stopping with these picks.
I can't keep track of what he's picking, let alone.
I see what he's doing. I see the trend.
I thought he was leaning in initially. Which is where whatever he actually thought, he was going the opposite way just because it was a bit, because it was funny that he was always wrong.
Right.
I don't think so
much
anymore.
No, he did that the first time Iowa State. And then he did it again, but he was like, hold up, I'm actually making a pick. Like, he's playing both sides here.
But this one was not. The real question is, does it behoove him, does it serve him to continue to make public picks like this? Should he be out of the public picks business? At least what I would do, and this would be a big Pony move, but it's what I would do. He should lay low for a while. He should just get out of it for a while and then just jump back into it. Maybe start a football season next year.
Yeah.
Hope enough people kind of forget. Just get out of it. Don't make any picks. There's really not a lot of games he'd be picking anyway between that. Maybe a Penguin playoff game if they do make the playoffs, something like that. And then just kind of jump back into it soft.
You don't have to announce you're not making picks anymore. You don't have to come out with a big, declarative statement or a declarative statement or anything like that. Just stop doing it and then jump back into it. Like first week of college football season.
Can't help himself. He does his FanDuel show every weekend. He's got to make picks. He's got to have plays. I don't know if he gives it up.
But he knows if he puts out a tweet that people are going to pay attention to it, regardless if it's right or wrong.
You see all the time that people say, I go the opposite. Do you honestly think there are people that wait for Pony and then bet the opposite?
1,000%.
Yes, absolutely.
1,000%.
Man.
I've never bet the – but I'll see his tweet and who mm-hmm. he's picking. Uh-huh. I'm like, oh, the other team's going to win. For sure. I would like to know the percentage of what –
Like, yes. Do people say, hey, Andrew, what I need Andrew's pick. I need Andrew's pick. And Andrew picks team A, and they go, good, not team B.
Read some of the comments. They'll be like, go opposite.
It's one thing to comment on that. Do you think people practically apply that,
yes,
though?
I think so.
They go immediately to their FanDuel or whatever and bet the other way.
Man, I wish somebody, whoever tracks our Get Money picks, if you're listening this morning, go back and track all of Pony's picks. Go back and do the research. Do some legwork. You've been pretty good with the get money stuff, whoever you are. I want to know what Pony's success rate is.
He's just lay low. If he just lays low. He was mad, though. It got to him. That was real energy that he was exuding yesterday on that video. Somebody said something on social media that cracked him.
Yep.
They definitely did. All right, Steelers, free agency. I have an idea what the Steelers, I think, should do, and I think we all do. Let's bounce that around. And then Nino Bonacorsi, pit wrestler, coming up at 9:30. National champion, that is. Fan weather right now brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Silverados, Colorado's back in stock with a great selection. Stop in online, too. SunChevy.com, sunny high in the 40s.
That's the weather.
Yeah, the weather looks absolutely gorgeous out there today, and it's going to be nice most of the week. A little rain here and there, though, and that'll tell you.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.